proflowradio.com.
Go!
Shockwave sounds good.
Proflowradio.com. Internet Inferno. On demand and live pro in audio.
You know?
Hit it with fofo flow.
The internet's audible hotspot.
Yeah.
You are now tuned into the Pro Flow for Show, internationally syndicated, act like you know, with your host, Mr. Mad Max. Pro Flow for Show, www.maxi.com.
Pro Flow for Show, wireless phone interview feature presentation.
Pro Flow for Show, Pro Flow for Show, Pro Flow for Show.
Check this out.
This is Venomous. All right, so I am sitting here with another lovely artist who is definitely doing their thing out here. Just want to thank you for taking time out to join us here at Pro Flow Radio. One of the reasons why you're on the show is because you obviously got some talent and it's the professional flow. So that's what Pro Flow is all about. So if you don't mind, can you please tell the audience who you are and where you're from?
Sure. I'm female MC Venomous. I'm from Orange, New Jersey. Shout out to Essex County, because I always say I'm from the county because I've lived pretty much everywhere in Essex County. So I'm from New Jersey, and I am glad to be here. So thanks for having me.
That's cool. That's cool. My last interview was from Jersey. It was a good one. I wanted to ask you, first of all, I want to know how you got the name. Of course, I can understand where Venom comes from, and in this part as well. So, but you can break it down for me if you don't mind.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. It's a funny story because people always think it's related to Venom, the character, or snakes or whatever else, but none of that is true. You know, I had always been rapping, and everybody always called me Little Jada, Birda Kiss, just plays off of Jada Kiss, and I'm like, I can't be little Jada forever. So I started thinking of different things, and at one point I was like, I'm gonna be Nemesis, and I'm gonna be this, and I'm gonna be that, and I just started thinking of all these different things. So I'm on the phone with my best friend, and he says, we play fighting. You know, you kids, you play fight. So we're play fighting, and he's like, chill, you always so venomous to me. Why you always acting like you so venomous to me? And he called me that for like 2 weeks straight. And I was like, if you don't stop calling me venomous, call me something else. And he's like, no, I'm calling you venomous from now on. And he still, to this day, that's all he will call me is venomous. And so that being said, it kind of stuck with me and other people gravitated towards it. And it just became my name. Like, if somebody calls me my name, I don't even know what to say to them because I'm looking at them like, that's not me.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, actually. I think it's one of those perfect original names that can only come from something so natural, or just, you know, the regular interaction with people. I think it's lovely. I go by Max Heat, and the way you put yours together kind of reminds me of how mine's put together. I just love it. But let's see. Now, I'm looking at a picture of you playing piano. Is that you?
Yeah, I was little bitty. My grandfather was a deacon in church, and, you know, my aunt used to play the piano, and I used to, as far back as I can remember, I would sit there and just bang on the piano and come up with songs and make up songs and stuff. I had to be like two in that picture on my website, two or three.
Okay. That's what's up. Now, so you've been doing this for a while, you've been pursuing this career for a while. What got you started?
Just watching my cousins, my older cousins. My cousins are a lot older than me, so when I was a little kid, they were off in college, they were off in high school having experiences, and you know, they always kept me with them, and they were really, really into hip-hop, and so hip-hop just became like air for me, like it was just second nature for me to be around it. And so I started out when I was real little just trying to impress them, and we would have little freestyle battles and stuff like that, just trying to keep up with them. And then by the time I got to high school and middle school and college, I realized that I was good at it. I was good at writing. I was good at getting people's attention through my words. So it just kind of became something that I said I was going to do permanently, and it just, the rest is history.
It's looking like, it says that you were doing street battles and ciphers. Is that true?
Yes, I used to kind of just jump in stuff. Like, I'd be walking somewhere and people would be rapping, I would just jump in. And, you know, imagine 95, 100 pounds, this little girl, 16, 17 years old, you got grown men out there battling, and I just jump in it, like nothing, and just keep on walking, like, yeah, okay.
Right. Right.
And I used to do that all the time. And then I started doing battles and showcases and performances and open mics. And then when I went to college, they were booking me. The college was booking me to do different things with them. I did, they had, William Patterson University had a battle, and I won. I have my trophy still. I won. I beat out, like, I think 9 MCs I beat out, and I finished that one. Yeah, it was crucial, because I wasn't even supposed to be battling. They pulled me out the audience on that one and was like, wow, she can do it, and threw me up there, and I beat everybody. So, yeah.
Dang.
And then I won the showcase with them. They had an unsigned artist showcase. I won that. I have the trophy for that still. And then I did, they had me open for different events they had going on there. And that's when I kind of was like, you know, I really like this. I'm doing this in front of 200-400 people, and it's not a thing. I really like this. I could do this every day, and I'd be fine. So that's when I started really, when I was in college, is when I really started trying to tailor what I was doing towards it. Like, even my major was so one day I could own my own record label. So it was, that's when it became real for me.
You,
like, between 16 and college is when it became real.
The bio also speaks about the record label you was talking about. You said you started one at one point, you know, you were young. And of course, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to run a record label, a lot of money, as well as just resources in general. So, but you know, how was to start off, like, kind of just jumping into things and already having the desire to have your own label? You know, how do you think that boiled in your heart?
One thing I want to say, first of all, my label was official. We had every artist on my label also produced. So it was a great situation. I was the only female on the label. I had 9 males behind me. They all produced, and they all recorded and mastered and mixed themselves and produced.
Wow.
And did videography and everything. So we were a powerhouse. And if I had had the right money to get things done, we could have been a problem. But we was all young and 17, 18 and, you know, going away to college and moving different places. And, you know, so it just didn't work out that way. But, I mean, running a label, it was cool. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what I was doing. I was getting a lot done. I just didn't have the complete know-how of the industry. I understood business. I understood time management. I understood all that. But when it came to the music industry, there were a lot of things I didn't know yet. And I wouldn't know for a few years to come. So, you know, it gave me the hope that I could do it. It showed me that I could do it. We survived for 2.5 years, and then it just kind of was like, we don't have the funds to put together what we want to put together, and everybody was kind of growing apart, and it was kind of like, okay, well, we got to just scrap this. But it was cool, and it showed me that, you know, later on down the road, that is something I still would love to put together, because I enjoyed it.
You're online with like a lot of those social networking sites, like a Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? Can you tell them how to find you on there?
Okay, on anywhere on the web, you can find me at It's Venomous, ITSVENOMISS. That's going to be on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm always It's Venomous. And then the website is venomousworld.com, where you can pretty much... I keep the website up to date with shows and events and things going on, and it also is like a hub. So all my social media is linked there, all my videos, any radio interviews I do, everything is on the website. So if you go to the website, you can find any information that you're looking for.
Just so they know, why don't you spell the website for them? Say it and spell it for them.
Sure. It's VENOMISSWORLD, venomousworld.com.
Cool. Now, we talked about a few things. I want to get into your style. Or actually, do you have any particular projects that are available to be purchased online right now?
Yes, I do. My first official debut album, I'm so proud of myself and so excited because it's been a long time coming. It's called Heiress of the Echelon. It is available on iTunes. It's available on Google Play. I have physical hard copies you can buy on my website. They come signed and they come with a free gift. And I have, I've got, it's available on every major outlet, and it's doing well, considering I don't have any label or any big flashy team behind me. It's doing pretty daggone good, so I'm really proud of it.
I'm glad to hear that for sure. Why don't you give me a little, not an example, but can you describe your style? Like, you know, when people come and listen to your music, what do you think they're going to hear in their opinion?
When people listen to my music, the two feedbacks I always get from people, the first one is my voice. They're like, wow, like you stand out over these beats, you commanding. And that's a good word to use for it, commanding. Like, I always get that feedback is that it's so commanding and powerful. Like, wow, I didn't expect you to sound like that. I didn't expect you to do that. And the other thing is, you're not going to hear, don't get me wrong, I'm sexy, I'm a lady, I'm beautiful, all that stuff, but I'm not selling me, I'm selling the music. So, and that's a big change from what some of the other ladies are doing that's coming out. A lot of the other ladies are all about them and their bodies and all that stuff, and not about the music and the lyricism and the punchlines and all that stuff. So I can still keep it lady and beautiful and all that stuff and still bring you a hard-hitting album in the same breath. So a lot of fellas rock with it because it's lyrical, because it's different. And then the ladies rock with it because I'm still a woman first. So it's been a good ride. And I think if they listen to it, they'll find something different than what they've heard so far.
That's what's up, man. And of course, you know, we all are influenced by people that came before us. What's some of the names that touched your heart in music?
In terms of music, I grew up in the era in New Jersey where Jersey was on. So you had Naughty by Nature, In My Face all the time. You would see them places, you know what I mean? You're being spoon-fed Queen Latifah all day, every day. And in the same breath, New York is popping. So you're being fed Salt and Pepper. You're being fed Biggie. You're being fed The Lox and DMX and all these different people over the years have come to me. But what stands out to me is artists that do things different. Don't do it the way everybody else is doing it. Like, Busta is one of my favorites, because when Busta came out, people was confused. People was like, what is, you know, why is he going so hard? Like, what is he doing? Like, nobody's doing that. We all cool like that? We cool like that. What? No, Busta, too. You know? So I like that about him, because at the time, and sometimes you just hear a song and you just pick that person out like, oh, you're going to be a problem. You know? So those are the artists I gravitate towards, is the ones that you hear on a record, and then looking back, you're like, oh, yeah, you were a problem then. You know,
right.
So but I like a lot of 90s hip-hop, I like a lot of 2000s hip-hop, and then because my cousins are older than me, of course I'm very versed in the old school hip-hop, because they wouldn't have had it any other way.
I understand that totally. So let's see, I mean, you know, it says that you've been performing, you know, you've had your music played in Italy, you know you have to say perform in front of crowds 400 plus. What's the best thing about performing for you? Women, which you enjoy by the most?
I just, one thing I like about performing, and it's funny because it's not a, I don't know how to describe it, but for me it's like a sneak attack. That's the best way I could call it, because they see me, I'm 5'3", and they're like, oh, look at this cute little girl. They're like, oh, she's so cute. What's she gonna do? She's gonna get up there and sing. That's so cute. And then I get up there and I open my mouth and they're like, whoa, what the heck was that? You know what I mean? Like, so I love that feeling. And once I got that crowd in my grasp and I'm like, wait, let's go, let's get this done. Once I got them, I got them. And we have a good time from there. So I usually start off with something light and I just kind of get the crowd's energy. And then from there, we have a good time. We just rock with it. And then usually when I leave that stage, I leave with new fans. And that's my favorite part, is walking off the stage and people like, yo, you killed that. I didn't expect that. That's my favorite part.
How have you kept your drive alive over the years of performing and, you know, living regular life, college, group breakups, label, you know, just breakups, you know, just a lot of things been going on. How have you been able to keep yourself moving forward?
You know, there was, and I'm always going to say that there wasn't a point in time where it wasn't difficult, because it was. You know, there was a point in time where I lost all motivation for it. I was like, screw it. Like, you know, my team is not with me. Things are not going the way I want it to. Financially, I don't have the money to get things done the way I want it to. I give up. Threw my hands up. Lived the regular life for a few years. Didn't do anything musically. Wouldn't even touch a mic. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm good. I had my daughter in that process. I'm like, all right, you know, I got a baby now, living that family life and stuff. And I said, this is not for me. I was not put on this earth to be a regular person that just sits in the house and do nothing. That's not what I was put here for. God gave me a talent. God told me to go and use that talent. That's what I need to be doing. So I got up. I picked myself up. I said, I got to keep moving. I got to keep going. I can't get down on myself because it didn't go the way I thought it should have went. So I got out, started working on it again, and I've had more success this time around. And I think it's just because the determination comes from a different place now. You know, money is not my motive. And obviously money is the end result. Yeah. But money isn't my main motive. My main motive is doing something that I love.
Definitely. Totally. So considering that you say, you know, it's been some ups and downs, you know, creating a family and then, you know, getting mm-hmm. back to the game and conquering things, specifically, can you name something that's been the hardest thing that you've had to overcome?
The hardest thing I've had to overcome is being a mom and balancing music. That's been the hardest thing. You know, I've kind of got it to a good place now, but when I first had her, I was like so confused. I didn't know how to make everything work. I didn't know what I would do, but she's 5 now, so it's a little easier. She's older. She's actually one of my biggest fans. She loves my music, and she doesn't curse. She will skip past the curse, but she knows my lyrics front and backwards. I catch her singing sometimes. It's hysterical, but
that's cute. That's cute.
Yeah, every now and then I catch her in the back, like talking about some hands up. Put your hands up. I'm like, wait a minute, wait.
What's one of your favorite songs that you've done?
My favorite song on the current album is Ocean, featuring So Free Wisdom. That's one of my favorite songs on the album because it was different for me.
Okay.
It was different. It's not something I would have normally done. Like I said, I tried to avoid the sexuality lane just because it's overdone. But this was me saying, okay, I'm still a woman. I can still be sexy and lyrical at the same time. Let's go. And that's one of my favorite tracks because it's just different for me.
Totally. What kind of beat do it sound like?
It's like a Twista type of, the best way I can describe it is Twista meets like a 90s R&B song.
Really?
Yeah, it's you know, it's got a fast repetition to it.
Oh, you got skills like that, huh?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So
it's a good song. And So Free, who's on the song, who sings, she has a voice. A lot of people say she sounds like Kiki White. Her voice is amazing. And I wrote the hook, and at the time when I wrote the hook, I said, I don't sing. I don't have nobody to sing this. I don't know where it's going to go. And a friend of mine at work, who I would least expect to refer me somebody, you know, he pushed his little glasses up his nose. He said, I know somebody. She sings. She's really good. And I said, really? Okay, whatever. You know, I'll entertain it. I heard this girl sing. I said, oh, heck yeah, we got to get in the studio now. So she went in the studio that Thursday. Literally, like, 2 days later, I called her, was like, quick, I need you on this song. She went in the studio, she bodied it right off the back, and brought everything that I had written to life to a whole nother level. So it was a great feeling for me to see something in my head and have it come out the way I saw it.
You know, people wanted to contact you. What would you want them to know about, you know, your the way you handle business? Is there a fee? Is there, like, a certain process? Do they send beats? Do they contact management? What do you want them to do?
Well, basically right now, everybody's just been hitting up bookvenomous@gmail.com, and we've been working out on a case-to-case basis. There's been some situations with some artists where I can barter with them, like they may have something I need. So I can barter with them and say, hey, you know, you got access to this videographer, or you have access to this camera equipment. If you do my photos for me, I'll do the hook for you for free. And we've been just kind of working on that type of system, and it's been helping me get a lot done. Or like I've run into people who have access to blogs, and I do blog writing as well sometimes. I'll trade off blog writing sometimes, or writing somebody's press kit or their bio. Like, yo, let me write your press release for you, and you know, we'll do this song together.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just try to trade where I can. And then, you know, we work out fees and stuff on a case-to-case basis. Right now, I am my management. I don't have an official manager. I do have people who help me. Shout-outs to 11, shout-outs to Doobie, shout-outs to a couple other people that help me behind the scenes keep everything in order and keep me from pulling my hair out. But right now, I manage myself, and the reason for that is because my situation is so unique, I have to make sure that whoever I put in charge of it is able to handle it on a real, like, a real basis. I don't want to put somebody there that's just saying, oh, I'm a manager, but you don't do anything. So, you know, yeah. So I want to make sure it's the right person.
What advice do you have for artists that are below you on the status and this hierarchy that we both working up on the ladder on? What advice do you have for them?
Just don't let anybody tell you your artistry is not worth anything. Because even like with T-Pain, for example, labels were telling him, choose one, you're not that good. You know, it happens. You know, you look at Eminem, even Eminem, Fat Joe regrets not signing Eminem.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's crazy.
That's crazy that you would pass on Eminem. Like, Eminem is... You know, exactly. So it happens. So you're just because somebody doesn't see your vision the same way you do doesn't mean your vision is not worth anything. And, you know, and I kind of touched on that in the intro on my album because when I first was coming out, you know, I run into industry people and they're trying to sex me up and tell me like, oh, okay, well, put this push-up bra on and these shorts and go up there on stage. Like, no, why? Why do I have to do that? Like, I don't understand, you know, and I don't mind being cute, don't get me wrong, because I like being cute. Give me my heels and my little cute outfit, okay. Right, okay, but at the same time, there's a limit to it, and, you know, I look at, you know, what they did with certain artists, they made them puppets. You know, you up there on stage looking like a clown because you letting everybody tell you what to do. So you have to, at some point, have a respect for yourself and your craftsmanship to know what direction you want to go. Not saying don't take advice, but also know when to say thank you for the advice, but I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Most definitely. So if your fans could get an opportunity to listen to a message that you want to give to them, what would you say?
The first thing I would say is, you know, to my fans, thank you for rocking with me and thank you for supporting the music. Thank you for coming to the shows and listening and reaching out to me on Twitter because I talk to y'all all the time. Like, I'm talkative. Y'all hit me up on Twitter, I talk right back. I don't care. And, you know, just thank you for taking the time out because I know the market is so oversaturated and there's so much to listen to. And I just appreciate every single person that takes the time to hit play or that's in my inbox telling me how much they love it or I can relate to what you said about this or, you know, and that just means the world to me that somebody's even taking the time out to do that. So thank you to them for listening and rocking with it. And you got some fans, like, for real, that have been rocking with me since I was, like, 17, 18 years old. And, you know, when they heard I was doing music again, they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing music again. I'm so happy. I'm like, wow, really? You remember that? Yeah, so that means a lot because, you know, I had my stuff online before. I was doing big numbers online before and just kind of stopped when I got a certain age. It was just, it wasn't working out for me. So I appreciate the people that's been rocking with me since then.
No, I almost forgot. Tell me a little bit about the nomination for your the New York Underground Music Awards. Now, from just being in New York alone, being nominated, it's got to be just an accomplishment, you know, because New York is a huge city. I mean, state, whatever you want to call it, you know, so like...
I was really excited about the nomination, number one, because at the time when the nomination went through, the album wasn't even finished and out yet. So I had sent them my single Clap, and, you know, I just put my name in the pool. I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, whatever, you know, there's all these artists. They're not going to look into my stuff, whatever. You got all these people out doing stuff. So I didn't think anything of it. I just put my name in the pool and went about my business, and I was on the phone. Funny story, I was on the phone with customer service with T-Mobile, and I'm trying to listen to what the lady says, and I go in my email, and I see my name in the ballot, and I flipped out, and she was like, whoa, what's wrong? I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. It meant a lot to me. It really, really, really did, and I'm sure my customer service rep wanted her ear back, but it meant a lot to me to be nominated. Yeah, she got the witness. I didn't expect a nomination. I've watched the Underground Music Awards the last 12 years, that they've had it. I've watched it grow and I've seen it out there, and it's always been something I wanted to be a part of. So to have them nominate me, and you know, and this is my first year back at music, second year because it's been
nice,
about
yeah,
nice. yeah 12 months and I'm nominated, and it kind of blew my mind that they would even consider me. So I was really humbled. There was probably like 2,000 people in the building. Had a great time. I gave out 200 CDs, 1,500 flyers, and you know, I just enjoyed it. It was a good experience for me. Even if I didn't win, I enjoyed the experience and I enjoyed the process of it. And I know next time they nominate me, I'm gonna win.
Most definitely. Now, why don't you give your website one more time, Miss Venomous, and then
sure.
You might get some shout-outs.
Sure. The website is www.venomousworld.com. That's all one word, VENOMISS world.com. And I want to give some shout-outs. I want to shout-out to Tori Chu. I want to shout-out to Team Gassed Up, who always supports me, been supporting me from day one. I want to shout-out Sophia, who's always at my shows in the front row every time I perform in the tri-state. Shout-out to all my fans, and shout-out to everybody who's downloaded the album. So far on Spotify, I've got over 2,000 streams. So shout-out to y'all. Y'all did that, not me. So thank you.
Yeah, shout-outs to Jersey all day.
Yeah, Jersey. Shout out to Jersey. I'm slipping.
No, you cool. You cool. I'm just looking out. It's all good. So is there anything else that you'd like to say? Any last statement?
Last statement. Pick up the album, Aristotle Echelon. It's out now. It's worth the listen. I know we've all had that terrible whack rapper album that you get a hold of and you regret. This is not that album. It's a dope album. Shout out to Eddie Mirix, who produced the entire album. Live instruments and all, it's a great album, and we put a lot of effort into it,
wow.
And you will enjoy it. So, yeah, it's worth picking up.
That's great. Well, I'll be able to hear singles on my show, and I'll make sure that they'll be able to get a link to find
right.
you off of what we have going on. So I do appreciate it. We would love to keep up with you over the years. Oh, yeah, my last question, in 10 years, where you want to be at with this career, is as long as it's going the right way for you?
10 years, I'm hoping that I am the next, you know, hip hop icon. I don't wanna be like Beyonce or nothing like that, but I wanna be like somebody that young women and men and everybody can look up to and say, you know what, she did it her way and she got it done. That's what I wanna be. TV, videos, music, acting, whatever I could get my hands into, I would love to do. I just like being in front of people, and I like being in the limelight. I don't have a problem doing it. So whatever I can get my hands on.
That's what's up. Venomous, we appreciate your time. And like I say, a follow-up interview is always nice. So keep us in mind because, you know, we look forward to supporting individuals and watching them grow. And as they grow and become big millionaires, we want a piece of that pie. So keep contacting and giving us an interview. You know what I'm saying?
I know that's right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Just call me. I'll be back up.
I'll be looking out for you. And I know Levin keep me informed. And just appreciate all the time you give me, but just give me a couple days and I'll get this up online for you. It'll be up by like probably Sunday for sure.
Okay, no problem. And you follow me on social media, so just link me.
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna
send
it
out to my
sites and everything. Yeah, I'm
yeah.
About to, I'll make sure that when it starts being promoted, it's once it's getting closer to being out, that you'll have all the information and you can check it out before everybody else does.
Okay, and do you want me to send you some music?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to email you. I'm going to text you my email address as soon as we get off the phone, okay?
Okay. Yeah, no problem. I'll send
yeah, yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Do you clean or edited or unedited?
If you don't have the unedited, if you got a song that you really want to be heard, it's really hot, and it's not edited, I can edit it for you. But if you got edited versions, they'll be on immediately.
So. Oh, no. You know, I'm not flipping that bad. I got edited. I got the all the singles edited. So I'll send you a few and let you pick which one you want to put up there.
Cool. I'll put them all up there. That's how you make money. So we're going to make this happen. And,
exactly. Okay.
Much appreciated. And,
thank you. And thank you for having me. It was, you know,
yeah.
It was cool. I like your vibe. So.
Oh, it's all good. I'm a positive individual about, I'm a musician myself, so, you know, I've been going through the ups and downs, and I've lost
mm-hmm.
motivation, and I found it again, and, you know,
we created
the radio show in general just because there was no way of getting on the radio without creating your own platform.
Internet radio is where it's at, like,
yeah,
and I look at, like,
everybody else.
Right, like, one of the radio stations I did the other day, in Boston, I can't think of the name of this station, but I did this station in Boston, and when I tell you, I got so much feedback off of this interview. My pictures went from like 10 likes to 200 something likes on some of the
Ooh,
pictures.
Wow.
My social media shot up, my downloads shot up, I mean, and they have like over 20,000 listeners. It was crazy to me. Like,
well, make sure you follow up with them.
Yeah, hello. And it just kind of blew my mind that internet radio has just become that much of a thing because you have so many people looking for something new.
It's funny, man. It's funny. I remember when it was before smartphones came out, before MP3s were able to be, you know, downloaded on phones and stuff. That's how long we've been doing it. This is amazing to see the transformation.
Mm-hmm. It's come a long way, and the TuneIn app is very helpful. The TuneIn app.
I've heard about that, but I haven't dealt much with them. I'm gonna check them out.
I know my homegirl has a show, Tori Chugu. I shout it out. She has a show, and she's trying to do the application process for TuneIn. Oh, and right. I think it was like kind of a cumbersome application process, yeah. But it's worth it because then they just download one app and they can listen to every radio show that they want to listen to. Mm. TuneIn. Okay. It's like, so it's almost like having the radio dial. You just tune in to, you just type in the name of the show and you can listen to whoever you want to listen to.
That's right.
So it's worth it to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but anyway, good luck to you with everything and stay in touch with me.
Yeah, if you think of anything else, just give me a call back or whatever and we'll get it taken care of.
ProFlowRadio.com, Internet Inferno, on demand and live pro in the audio.
If you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry, music featured on the Pro Flow for Show Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, check us out, www.maxheat.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word. It's Pro Flow Radio.
Let me kiss those lips. Come here, baby. You can grab on my hips, but let me get a taste of your magnificence. Let me love you slow, let me teach you things, and maybe you could teach me too, cause I was told that the student is a teacher too. Let me take you on a trip around the world, be your girl, show you things that'll leave you feeling so high. Let me take away your cares, when I'm finished you can share, but first I'ma show you love through my eyes. Let me be the best you had, let me show you why the rest ain't last. We ain't gotta stress the past, let me rub your back, and if you're good you can rub this ass.